You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. This is where they share their latest creations, products, services, experiences, as well as business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. Today, we are speaking with Mindy Finn, founder and president at Empowered Women, a nonprofit working to expand and diversify the conversation on feminism and women's equality. Mindy, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you as well. Certainly looking forward to hearing you speak on this topic today. So if you would, tell us all about yourself from your successful background working on political campaigns such as those of George W. Bush and Mitt Romney, as a digital strategist at Twitter, to the company you have ultimately founded in 2015, Empowered Women.
Sure. So I'm really a campaigner at heart. I love being part of a team and working together towards a cause. And when I do that, I throw myself entirely into that cause. And this kind of traces back to, my childhood. When I think about it now, whether it was rooting for the swim team or during the Gulf War, when I wanted every fifth grader to wear a Operation Desert Storm t-shirt to school with the American flag, all the way to my career, first as a journalist, but knowing that I didn't want to just cover the action, I wanted to be part of it. And after 9/11, I went knocking doors to get a job on Capitol Hill right out of college, and was able to secure a job first for a senator and then a congressman. And because I'm a campaigner, I really grew up in a household that was always adopting the new technology. I really loved the opportunity the internet was providing in the early 2000s to engage more people in the process. You know, to me, the more people that we could communicate to and engage, the better. And so I really fell in love with kind of the digital aspect of campaigning, and was recruited to work on the George W. Bush reelect in 2004 on his digital campaign. It was the very early years of such a thing. We were a small team, but it was very groundbreaking and an incredible, incredible experience. I like to say 10 years of experience in 1 year. And from there, even though at the time that wasn't really, now it's cool. It's really cool to be working in digital in politics. Back in 2004, it wasn't. A lot of people, they called us nerds and geeks and asked us to fix their computer, even though that wasn't really our job. It was really about marketing and communication. But I knew that's where everything was headed. And so I followed a track of working at the Republican National Committee, and then for Mitt Romney in 2008, leading his digital strategy. I founded an agency in 2008, one of the first of its kind that focused on digital strategy for politics and advocacy. We worked with kind of every top politician that you could think of that's a Republican, as well as major corporations like Google and ExxonMobil, and then was recruited to work at Twitter in 2011, which I did for a few years. So a long career in digital strategy, and took a really big risk, some could say, and decided to invest to start Empowered Women this year. And, I actually look at it as the same. I mean, the reason I loved working in digital, one of the reasons, is that it was at the forefront of where everything was moving. And when it comes to women, we've just had, just beyond digital revolution, the other massive shift economically in our country over the last few decades is the rise of women as earners and as breadwinners. And as we all make sense of that, I think it's important to have a lot of cultural conversation and more diverse voices in the marketplace to best move us forward.
It's extremely admirable that your organization aims to debunk several stereotypes about conservative women and instead positions them as they truly are educated, influential, and independent. What are the most pressing issues facing these women today, especially now going into the 2016 elections?
Sure. Well, I think one of the stereotypes that you mentioned that we try to debunk is that women care about different issues than men do. The number one, number two issues for women are the same as they are for men, which is national security and economic issues. But women tend to say different things when you poll them or you talk to them on the ground in a political context about you know, the number one thing they care about is making sure that their families are okay. If they have children, that's their children or their spouse or their parents, whoever it may be. They just want to make sure they're okay. So while national security is an important issue for men, for women, it's even more so. The environment, you know, it plays a larger role, for instance, than it actually does in men, because they want to make sure their families are going to be okay. And then economically, with those pocketbook issues, making sure that, you know, they're going to be able to afford school or college, you know, for and or pay off loans for their children or themselves, obviously pay the mortgage and those basic things. So those are really the key issues. And increasingly what we see, because in our organization, we like to focus on younger women and millennial women, is the goal of women of this generation, the ultimate ideal is being independent, even starting their own business. They see that as the pathway to flexibility and to independence. And so issues that impact small businesses, and when you talk about political issues, you know, those that are really on the side of small business, that's something that's very important to them.
Whatever you're doing obviously is working. What separates empowered women from other Republican women-focused groups out there, and what do you pride yourself in doing differently?
Sure. Well, we really want to be at the forefront of conversations. I mean, there's a lot of groups doing really great work. Some of them will focus on one specific issue, say, you know, the abortion issue. That's where a lot of women's groups tend to be focused. That's not where we're focused. Or, you know, they're kind of just having old arguments about, you know, whether, you know, big government is good or big government is bad, or being responsive to, you know, sort of liberal feminism if it's a conservative group. We have a proactive and positive message. We want to be looking ahead to where are things moving economically. You know, where are things moving culturally? Where are they moving politically? Women are more than 50% of the vote. So it's not really a question of do women have power or should they have power politically? It's that they do have power, and how do we best organize them and find kind of common ground on issues that really will improve the country and collectively work together to make that happen. You know, we look at things other than kind of engage in mommy wars. That's a common word that takes place online, the mommy wars take place online, or whether women should be at home or be in the workplace. We come from a place of looking at what women are doing. And the reality is that the majority of women will become mothers, not that everybody has to, but the majority of women will marry, they will become mothers, and the majority of women will have a career at some point in their life. So rather than arguing about whether one is good or bad, let's look at what women are doing and surface stories and solutions that will support women in those lifestyles. So that's really where we are different. The other thing that we tend to focus on is, you know, one of the other great debates is for some of the social challenges, like issues like sick leave or maternity leave that women are looking for in the workplace or equal pay. The debate is whether government should provide those things or whether the private sector. And rather than spending that much time focused on that debate, what we do is we bring entrepreneurs into our network who are addressing those issues in the private sector, and sometimes maybe in concert with government, and raising their profile and connecting them to the right people so that those solutions and efforts can be effective. So we're solutions-oriented, innovative, bold in our approach. The other thing that really sets us apart and has been attracting a lot of women from uncommon places to our organization is we started with a 13-point manifesto, which is kind of a bold term, but it's a positive term in this case, which is 13 value statements that are meant to be unifying and broadly appealing. And anybody who that manifesto resonates with, we say, come on board. And so we've had, you know, women who are minority venture capitalists from as one example, or somebody who's, you know, been in the military as another example, from all parts of the country who have said, this really speaks to me. I would love to get involved and see how I can play a part in a way that no other organization has.
Today we're joined by Mindy Finn, founder and president at Empowered Women, a nonprofit working to expand and diversify the conversation on feminism and women's equality here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter simply at ePodcast Network. Mindy, you've mentioned in past interviews that you consider yourself more of a humanist than a feminist. Why has the latter, in your opinion, become such a toxic, dangerous word today, and why should women be wary of referring to themselves as feminist?
Unfortunately, feminism has come to mean it's supposed to be about equality. That's the original purpose. And it's really, most people are for equality, but unfortunately the term feminism has come to be a political strategy that liberals or Democrats have used to divide women and create a wedge. And so today, calling yourself a feminist for many people means associating yourself or subscribing to a liberal policy agenda that not all women subscribe to. And so that's why many are turned off to the term. It's also come to mean, you know, versus, like anti-men, and pit it in us versus them strategy, where it's women versus men, as opposed to something that we're all in together. And that's, you know, we did some research, and there's been similar research that's polled women across all ages to say, you know, do you consider yourself a feminist? And a small minority of women, less than 20%, actually do consider themselves that, while nearly 90% would say they're for the political, social, and equality of women. So rather than, you know, I actually, would consider myself a feminist. It's not an ID that I carry along, you know, like, that's my part of my name or part of my nature. I would definitely say I'm a wife and a mother before I would say I'm a feminist. I'm a business owner and a strategist, et cetera, over saying a feminist. But I don't think we should discard the term. There's still a lot of really important work being done across the country, where that term is quite helpful to rally around. But unfortunately, it has been hijacked. So I do understand why women don't want to associate with that term. And I think more importantly, and it's why the name of our organization is not standing about feminism, nor does our mission, is that we are empowered. And it's really about empowerment and what does that mean for you. And that means different things for different people. It really means having a choice and being able to pursue the life that you want to live and having the courage to do so.
Certainly helpful information so far. Lastly, what has been the most memorable and or rewarding aspect of running Empowered Women to date? And as it's in the early stages, what is your vision for the organization in the coming year and in the future?
Well, it's all been rewarding. Like any startup, it's there's a lot of anxiety. It's very stressful. You have this vision, and every single day you're working to achieve it, and it seems like it's always in doubt. On the other hand, every accomplishment and everything that you achieve is incredibly rewarding because it's something that you've done, obviously with a lot of support and with a team, but kind of on your own. It wouldn't have happened had you not initiated it. So that's all been very rewarding. But one of the very surprising aspects, something I didn't really anticipate, is our focus is on upcoming generation of women. We don't necessarily age cap it, but that's mostly been women in their late 20s or 30s, their early 40s. So our organization has attracted a lot of women in their 50s and their 60s who have had successful careers, but they're kind of reinventing themselves in some ways and looking for what's that act two or that act three. And they feel so inspired by some of the younger women, entrepreneurs or leaders that we've been connecting them to. And at some of our events, they've had the opportunity to meet, women 20 or 30 years their junior, and seen that as, something that they were honored to do, and vice versa. So we've really been able to facilitate this cross-generational mentorship with that wasn't even necessarily our intention. And inspire women who, I would have kind of looked to as mentors to accomplish great feats. I mean, for example, one of the women that I'm thinking of decided to start a company of her own and built an app, a mobile app that is now taking off. Another woman is considering, after a long career in government and nonprofit, is now considering actually running for Congress. And said that if it had not been for our organization, it was something that she kind of always thought about, but didn't think that would ever happen, and now is inspired to do so. And then now they have this whole network of amazing emerging women leaders who can be there to support them along the way in their endeavors. So that's been the rewarding aspect, and it's really been great to, there's a lot of organizations that are focused on business or just focused on politics or focused on entertainment, are focused on particular industries like healthcare, energy, and what we do is we're bringing all those women together.
Well, it certainly has been good to have had you today. You've certainly got an impressive background and professional experience, and really courageous of you to step out and start your business, Empowered Women, to put your vision into action. Now, tell our listeners where they can get more information about Empowered Women online and how they can best be in touch.
Absolutely. Well, if they go to empoweredwomen.org, they can read the manifesto, add their name, and even upload a photo and share what being empowered means to them and get information on our events and other programming. They can follow us on Twitter at Empowered Women and find us on Facebook at Empowered Women as well.
Once again, Mindy, thanks for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best.
Absolutely. It's an honor. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mindy Finn, founder and president at Empowered Women, a nonprofit working to expand and diversify the conversation on feminism and women's equality. And once again, the website of reference is empoweredwomen.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.